This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Welcome to WrestleMania weekend. It is Friday, April 5th. I wasn't going to do this, but in the spirit of WrestleMania season, why the hell not? We have Mailbag Part 2. I'm going to try to get to all of your emails here. And those of you who are non-patrons, this is really a show for you. And because normally all the patrons get priority, which means you get guaranteed placement in the mailbag. But I'm feeling generous today. And it's WrestleMania weekend, which means it's here. It's finally here. We just had an earthquake here in upstate New York, but of course, it happened down in New Jersey. Everyone's talking about it. It's all over social media. People are freaking out. No damage, but it's just got everyone talking, and it'll fade away in like a day. But what'll have everyone talking this weekend? WrestleMania. What'll have everyone talking is if Cody wins or loses. But I think if he loses, there's even more to talk about. I don't think they'll do that, but just so you know, too, this is a show one of two for today, because later today I'm going to be speaking with Anthony DeMarco for our official preview and prediction show for WrestleMania that takes place tomorrow night and Sunday night in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, if you are looking for ad-free and you don't want to listen to ads at all throughout the weekend, well, you have a solution, and that's a week for free on Patreon for a 7-day free trial. There's also a 7-day free trial on Apple. You can click that subscribe button and get everything ad-free for a week. How about that? We hope you stay with us, but it's, of course, a free option for you if you want to choose that and give us a try. Well, let's get to those emails. Let's get to the ones I didn't get to and get to some that came in between the last show I did and now. So let's talk to John. John says, "Hi, Matt. So I read Triple H's comments the other day that basically admitted that WWE made an audible with The Rock and Roman after the fan reaction. So I guess what I'm wondering is, if it was initially Rock versus Roman, I would think Triple H would book Roman to win, just because he had a sudden change of heart because of his fans' reaction. Is he all of a sudden going to change the booking decision too? I've said all along, if Triple H wants Roman to beat Hogan's mark, he will book him to do it even if the fans get mad. Honestly, I just want it to happen just to see the reaction." Well, I mean, you're echoing my sentiments, John. You're echoing the dark side of myself that really, really wants to see what the fans do if Cody loses. But that's a good question. The person who's facing Roman has changed, but did the outcome change Triple H's mind? I would say no. I don't think it has, and you're right, Rock could have lost and likely would have, but not guaranteed, lost to Roman if the belt was on the line. But do they still look at that Hogan mark as the end-all be-all? I still think they do. I still think they look at that as a very big mile marker that they could still make more money with, finish documentaries on, and with Roman and his run. You could talk about a 4-year reign at that point with Roman Reigns as champion. And that is a significant mark to get to, of beating Hogan's record and kicking Hogan down a notch. They're never, likely, in our lifetimes, going to get to this point again. They look at this as kind of a one-shot deal. Who else are they going to make a 4-year champion? Who's on the roster that they would make for 4? You don't want a babyface being a champion that long, because the fans will eventually turn on it. Heels can be championed longer, because the more that they're champion, the more frustrating it gets. And what are you going to do? Boo them louder? Well, then you're just working right into what they want you to do. So it can't happen with a baby face. It would only happen with a heel. And there's no other heel on the roster right now that could fulfill that. So this is truly once in a lifetime for most of us to see this long of a reign, and for WWE to get the chance to knock Hogan down a peg. I really think that they may look at that and say, screw it, we've gone 90% of the way, let's finish it, we'll find a way to get Cody to be champion, the fans will get pissed, but you know what? It's going to create more buzz, it's going to create more discussion than it would if Cody won. And sure, you'll have fans, well, I'll stop watching. Triple H even mocked that at one point a few years ago. Well, I'm going to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop watching. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know why? You'll be so mad that you're going to be curious to see how they try to get themselves out of the booking decisions they've made. You'll be more, I think, even the fans that are outraged, be more emotionally invested if Cody loses than if he wins. I really believe that because anger is a hell of an emotion. You will be. And I, the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm trying to convince myself that Cody's not going to win on Sunday. The only downside to that is, well, if he doesn't win, then is that really long-term damaging to Cody Rhodes, where he just can't win the big one? He's there 2 years and has yet to complete his mission. He loses again. Do they think that that is enough of a risk that it won't damage him long-term to get Roman to Hogan's record and then complete the mission at, I don't know, hell, Survivor Series or something? But there's also the argument of WrestleMania 40 is a transitional WrestleMania. It's number 40. You do bigger things than you normally would do at even WrestleManias themselves. So there's a lot that you could make in terms of an argument for Cody winning. So it's a hell of a debate. But you can't tell me that there's no argument against him winning, or against him losing, rather, or for him. I'll get it right. There's no. You can't tell me that there isn't an argument for him to not win. There is an argument for him to not win. So just want to put that out there. But let's continue with the email. As I'm getting like alerts on my phone. My Apple Watch just went off, like buzzing like crazy, from New York State emergency management that an earthquake has occurred in New Jersey. It's almost like like aliens are attacking. It was just a little bit of a shake. I'm sitting in my office and my whole like office is shaking, and I thought the house was going to explode from a gas line or something. Anyway, for the record, this is more from John. I think Cody will win. The only way I think he loses if Seth loses earlier in night two to Drew, is pissed off that Cody didn't have his back, and he turns on him at the last second during a Roman-Cody later that night, helping Roman win. I think Seth will turn soon, not sure when. It definitely won't happen night one, but I do think there's a sliver of a chance it could happen night two as a way to get Roman to win. By the way, I think that's the only scenario I see Roman winning. There has to be some dark turn from a Cody ally. I've heard you say Seth is one of the top babyfaces of Raw, but I do think they're grooming Jay for that role. And also, I think it's not a guarantee Cody goes to SmackDown. Drew could get traded if he wins, or Cody stays if he loses. Knight could also get traded, and Punk is a popular figure as well. Love the show, John. All good points, John. Punk is popular, but he can't wrestle. He's not going to be able to wrestle for another few months. So he can say things, but he can't do things, so he's limited. But I agree. And also, even if he was not injured, he's old in wrestling years. He doesn't have a whole lot of matches left in him, I don't believe. He's easily injured, and it doesn't, Punk is short-term. Knight getting traded? I still love that trade. Knight belongs on Raw. I need LA Knight to come to Raw, because the problem with Cody staying on Raw if he wins the belt is you'd have two world champions on one show. What about SmackDown? You gotta balance it. So Cody going to SmackDown makes more sense. LA Knight coming to Raw makes more sense as well. But two champions being on the same show doesn't make sense. So you're right. They're grooming Jay, and Jay is a top guy. Jay has been one of the most unsung success stories of 2023 into 2024. I don't think he gets the appreciation he deserves from fans. Not that he doesn't get great reactions, but the discussion like on podcasts and social media, I don't think there's enough of a recognition of how far Jey Uso's come. So yeah, he is, I don't think he's at the level of Cody, but he's in the vicinity, you know? But as far as Seth turning, that's also a very real possibility. See, these are the things that are possible. These are the things that I don't think a lot of people are thinking about, and it's a foregone conclusion he's winning. And it is certainly a strong, to me, yes, ultimately, when the chips are down, is there a stronger chance Cody wins than loses? Yes. But these are the things that are discussable. It's worth talking about. And Seth turning, I think, makes sense. It just does leave a bit of a hole on Raw if Cody goes to SmackDown and Rollins is now a heel. You have Drew as a heel. You got all of Judgment Day as heels. Who's the replace? I mean, you got, like you said, you got Jey Uso. Then what? Ricochet? I mean, you got Gunther, who's a heel. Whether he's a champion or not, he's going to be a big heel. There's got to be that balance. So you're right. That could be one way. But then if Seth does do this, I mean, he could feud with Cody. But where is he going to feud him with him? Is he going to feud with him on Raw over just a grudge? But if Cody wins, he goes, I mean, look, there's, see how many moving parts and one thing affects so many others? I like your idea, though. It has to be a massive turn. But then there's the discussion, as we've all talked about, of Austin and Cena coming out to help. But maybe they help on night one. Maybe they don't help during the night two debacle. Maybe that's when they help and get Cody a fair shot. Somehow the Bloodline still finds a way to cheat where the Bloodline themselves are banned, including Rock. No one actually shows up, but somebody who's not a Bloodline member helps Roman win and screws Roman. Thereby, they abided by the contractual agreement that no Bloodline member would interfere, but the person who interferes is not a Bloodline member. What they should do is anyone, no outside interference. I don't care if you're a Bloodline member or not, but they won't do that, of course. So guys, just so much to think about. I just want, my goal here of all this discussion is to put a seed of doubt in your mind that Cody could lose, because it's real. It's not for me to just create controversy and get, you know, attention for no reason. It's a real possibility. All right. Let's go to Sage. Sage says, I wanted to list some WrestleMania possibilities and get your opinions on the most likely and least likely to happen. Okay. So Gable costs Sammy the IC title and turns heel. Do I think, okay. Well, I'm just going to say likely or not likely, because to rank these is a little bit difficult. Do I think Gable costs Sammy the IC title and turns heel? I think that's likely. Yes. Dom remakes the Judgment Day with Santos and Andrade, while Priest and Finn go their separate ways, maybe Rhea too. It seems like they're exploring things with Dom, Santos, and Andrade after watching Raw. The answer is yes. Dom has been doing a lot of things without quote-unquote permission from either Rhea or Priest, so Dom seems to be undermining the leaders here, and I think that's a real possibility. Yes, I like that. Brock returns at Mania and confronts Gunther. I would say 50-50. And not that I don't think Brock is back. I think he is, and they're trying to figure him into plans. I think he either comes back at Mania after Gunther retains, if he does. Whether he retains or not, I think you could have a Brock confrontation. But you could also have him, and even more likely, I think, is Brock returning on the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. Remember, the Monday Night Raws after WrestleMania the last couple of years have been, let's call it what it is, piss poor. Very underwhelming for what the expectations of a Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania are. And you got to have some aces left up in your sleeve. You can't just blow it all at WrestleMania. A lot of them are, but not everything. You have to leave some kind of surprise for Monday Night Raw, and Brock returning to confront Gunther at Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania? Yes. I think that's more likely than at Mania, but still possible. Number four, The Rock and the Final Boss anoints himself the new Tribal Chief and head of the table after Roman loses. Unlikely. I would say that's unlikely because they're playing the long game with this. Now, there could be tension and probably will be tension between Rock and Roman at Mania. Even if they lose the tag match, I don't think it'll break down yet. But there will be seeds planted for the tension to grow over the next year, building to a Rock-Roman match at WrestleMania 41. Again, I don't think it'll be that. That's too quick of a declaration, because that's ultimately the end game that we all thought was going to happen anyway. Is that what, that's what they were going to fight over, is who's the head of the table, who's the true tribal chief of the family. And you can't have him just declare that off the bat. That's jumping like eight chapters. That has to be like towards the end. So I think there'll be seeds planted. I don't think they'll break down. I don't think there'll be any physicality between Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, at least in terms of one officially turning on the other. They may bump shoulders, they may shove each other, but ultimately no true breakdown. Not yet. That's my thinking. Okay, fifth and finally, Jimmy and Jey reconcile after their match. I think that's, if I was to choose likely or unlikely, Good question. I think likely, but just barely, because they could still string this out to WrestleMania, or I'm sorry, excuse me, Backlash. There's no such thing as WrestleMania Backlash. They could string this out maybe one more match if they wanted. I think it's likely, though, if Jimmy loses clean to Jay, they could have some kind of hug moment in the middle of the ring. Jimmy sees the light. He's gotten some sense beat into him. That is very possible, yes. Likely? Yeah, I think so, if you made me choose one. Because ultimately, Jimmy and Jay and the whole bloodline will eventually all turn babyface. And I think we're looking at that after the Rock-Roman match of WrestleMania 41. So we probably got another year of heel Roman and heel bloodline. All right, Sage, thanks. Let's talk to Milan. He says, I wanted to get your thoughts on the potential of the ultimate twist after WrestleMania, which I've heard some say is very much on the table and creative it's considering. That Roman will be the one to turn babyface, not The Rock. The only way I see this working is if Roman loses, and on Monday Night Raw on the following night, Rock berates him and tears off his necklace for losing. He abuses him verbally like Roman did to Jay and Jimmy. Then Roman asks Solo and Jimmy to gang up on The Rock, but instead they line up behind The Rock along with Paul Heyman, who also turns on Roman. Rock orders a beatdown on Roman, and Jimmy and Solo comply. The Rock, watching Roman bleed on the ground, takes the necklace, puts it around his neck. This would turn The Rock even darker and make him the new head of the table and the final boss. I could see Roman Reigns taking a long breakup before SummerSlam, much like 2020, when he took a long break and returned as a heel. However, this time he returns with Jey Uso by his side as a babyface to confront the final boss, who has become much darker and more powerful. I know it's a gamble to do, but it's the only way I can see it working. Personally, I think it's time for Roman to change it up, and this could be the way to turn him babyface. Milan, you present a very compelling argument. I don't hate that. Now, I'm speaking out both sides of my mouth, right? It seems like I'm being a little two-faced on this argument because I had just said a few minutes ago, I do want The Rock and Roman to be a traditional Rock is the babyface, Roman's the heel. I still feel that way. I still feel that we should get that with no title on the line at next year's WrestleMania. I'm still in that camp. But here's the argument, like you just mentioned. Here's how you turn Roman babyface. This is how you do it. You have the whole family turn on him. The whole family turns on him. And they could turn on him after he loses to Cody, if he does, where he said, the shame he's bringing to his family, you failed us, all these things. You know, my family, I'm not going to be able to put food on my family's table, as if somehow their paycheck's going to be different because Roman's not champion, right, when you think about it. But this is a very effective way to do it. Anytime anybody's outnumbered, you instantly sympathize with the person who's being beat down. And it's a great way to do it. Great way to continue Rock being heel. Now, the only issues I see with this, Rock is going away to film a movie supposedly between May and August, right? So you could have Rock around for another week or two, even through the end of April. But he's going to be gone apparently for the next several months after that, where he films a movie during the summer. Now, he could certainly make an appearance maybe here and there, via satellite or, on X. You could do that. And I think it would be effective and fill the gap of a few months. But my instinct, do we all really want a heel Rock versus a babyface Roman? Like, the idea of the fantasy match was Roman is the heel, Rock is the babyface, and that's still the one that I think I want. And most fans ultimately want. You could keep Rock this same character, not change a thing. And if you put Rock and Roman together, the fans would chant for The Rock. Because the fans, whether you love or hate The Rock, when he comes out, the fans love him. The fan reaction is still all extremely positive. This is the best version of The Rock I believe we've ever seen, ever. And I'm not just saying that because it's fresh and new. And no, I really believe it's like the best version of both. Of everything that he's ever been. And it's also an evolution of himself. It's been excellent. And I still, again, you don't have to change anything about The Rock. He doesn't need to go back to his old entrance music. I don't want his old entrance music. I want him still coming out in these ridiculous vests and the sunglasses. And if Rock and Roman came face to face, the fans, even though The Rock's still quote unquote a heel, the fans would side with The Rock. especially if their belt isn't on the line anymore. That's the key. That was the whole catalyst that got the train running for We Want Cody. You need to get rid of the belt in order for the fans to get behind The Rock. And I think if they do that and Cody becomes champion, which I still think is the most likely, then you have a very much set up, a good setup for next year's WrestleMania. But this makes total sense, Milan. It makes total sense. Boy, good stuff. All right, let's go to Chris. Fairly new listener, liking it so far. What do you mean liking it? You don't love it? You can't just say liking it. That's not, if you don't love this show, then we're not reading your email. I'm just being a jerk. Okay. Couple things. The first time in a couple years, I've wanted to see Roman win. I can't stand Cody either. He's insanely selfish and really robbed the WWE universe of a match they've wanted for years. Since the first time Roman declared head of the table, we've all wanted The Rock and him in the ring. I'd like to see Drew take Seth's belt because his heel Drew is fantastic and Seth has had it long enough. On the backside of that, I'd like to see Seth take Roman's belt after the stupid record. I think with their history, he's the only one that makes sense. What do you think? And also, wouldn't it be crazy if Cena came out to help Cody and then Austin came out and stunned Cena? Yeah. Now we're just getting into video game stuff. I would actually love to see Austin stun Cena. I mean, and it has actually happened. If you want to see that happen, it has happened once. It happened on a trip to Iraq, however you pronounce it, when they went to the tribute to the troops back in 03? Was it 03 or 04? You can YouTube it. Just search Stunner on Cena, and it pops right up. So it's happened, not on the platform you wanted, but I don't think it happens here. It just makes no sense. You don't want to start a rivalry within a big rivalry. It would overshadow things. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I understand why you want it. I do too. And as far as, you know, Cena helping out, I think Cena is absolutely going to be there. And you know why? I think he'll come out whenever Solo tries to screw things up, either on night one or night two. Cena has an actual beef with Solo based on what happened. It was SummerSlam or whatever it was when Solo hit 48 Samoan spikes in Cena's throat and somehow Cena's still okay. So he has an actual beef. Again, my concern is with Austin. But the thing is, does anyone even really care why he's there? I guess The Rock is just kind of a natural enemy, so it makes sense that Austin and Rock would still have tension, and there's a whole lot of history there. So you know what? I'm cool with it. But the fans wanted Rock and Roman. They did, up until they realized, wait a minute, it's going to screw up Cody's story, and then a lot of them jumped ship. But the idea, though, that Drew takes Seth's belt, I think, is very strong. There's a lot of argument for that. And he is the only one, though, that makes sense. I mean, you're saying that since Roman has declared himself head of the table, we've all wanted him and Rock in the ring, and you'd like to see Drew take Seth's belt because heel Drew is fantastic and Seth's had it long enough. Yeah, I mean, he has had it long enough. I think fans are ready. Fans are ready to make this change, and they've been ready for quite some time. Heel babyface runs are different, right? Like, as I just said, babyfaces, you don't want them to have it for too long. It's too much of a good thing. Fans become ready for a change, and they equate that change to being annoyed with you not changing. And the thrill of the chase is very important, and I think it's a concept that's not often enough stressed. It's the thrill of the chase. You could apply that to a lot of things in life, relationships, chasing men, chasing women, right? Like, the thrill of the chase. Think about what that means. A lot of different things for a lot of different people. And a lot of times the thrill of the chase is more exciting than the destination. Take with that what you will. But yeah, so thanks for listening, and don't just like the show, okay? That you got to love it. Love it or leave it. All right, things are getting weird. All right, let's go to JD, one of the three. He says, he or she, I'm not sure if you're a man or woman. I really don't know. I'm sorry. But they say, hello, Matt. It's been a while since I've wrote in, but I thought since I'm going to WrestleMania and World at WrestleMania, I'm very excited because it's my first WrestleMania in person. I'm disappointed because the stage is very underwhelming. For the main event of night one, I think Rock and Roman are going to win, but on night two, Cody's going to win. I'm very excited for the U.S. title match because KO is my favorite wrestler. Out of all the matches, I think the IC title is going to steal the show. yeah, it's very possible that that steals the show. The IC title has a very real chance of it. Sammy and Gunther are absolutely going to kill it. But to say match of the night, I don't think that's crazy. But you look at other matches like the six-man or the six-pack challenge ladder match for the tag titles, a lot of people are pointing to that. You know, a match of the night is obviously a very subjective thing because to you, what's awesome is may not be awesome to other people. But you're saying also, too, an interesting thing that you glossed over is you're saying the stage for WrestleMania is underwhelming. So when you say stage, I'm assuming you mean the physical stage. You've seen the stage. I haven't seen pictures of it. So if that's what you mean, then I'm interested to see what the stage of WrestleMania looks like. If it's underwhelming, that's very surprising. Usually WWE goes insane with budget at WrestleManias, especially for WrestleMania 40. You think they'd go way over the top. But yeah, I mean, KO and, you know, and Logan Paul. Hey, KO, Logan Paul, I think they're going to kill it. I think they're absolutely going to kill it. And, you know, there's no other reason to believe otherwise. Okay. Thank you. Let's hold on. Do we have one more? We might have one more. I'm going to check our good old Patreon just to make sure you guys haven't messaged me in the meantime and wanted to get some last things in here. And I don't. So let's get to actually voicemails. I didn't think I was going to get to them this week, but let's see how many we can get through.
What's going on? WWE Podcast World, this is DJ Kuzmo back at it again on your mailbag show. Record to you live on a Wednesday morning. It's a little bit windy, it's a little bit rainy, so hopefully you can hear my voice loud and clear. But now let's get to your favorite show to come in every single week on the mailbag. And I'm talking about the Veer Mahan Report. Now, the Veer Mahan Report took place this past Monday night on Monday Night Raw, live from my hometown in Brooklyn, New York City. At the Barclays Center, we did get an appearance of most of the superstars, like The Rock, a.k.a. The Final Boss, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, main event Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, and a host of others. But we did not get an appearance for the upteat time. We did not get an appearance of the end this year of my guy, Veer Mahan, Sangha, and the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal. But ladies and gentlemen, as always, as WrestleMania is coming very, very close, we always have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And guess who's going to be on that event? Guess who's going to be in that Battle Royal? My guys, Veer Mahan and Sangha will be participating in the Battle Royal. That's going to be happening this coming Friday on SmackDown. I guess they might probably call it WrestleMania SmackDown, or just a regular episode of SmackDown. Whatever the case may be, they will be participating in, I believe it's a 20-man Battle Royal for that big old Andre the Giant trophy. That will also include Andrade, Chad Gable, Akira Tozawa, Omos, who we haven't seen on television, and a guy by the name of Apollo Crews. I thought Apollo Crews got released. Anyway, this should be an interesting battle royal. No offense to my guys, Veer Mahan and Sangha, they're not going to win this, but I'm thinking that the favorite to win it is none other than, what's his name again? You know that Power Ranger guy that always does those flips and, oh yes, Ricochet. Yes, Ricochet. I think that Ricochet is the favorite to win. He's on a hot streak right now. But getting back to the Veer Mahan Report, let's see what happens after WrestleMania in terms of where these guys get placed. And let's see what happens with the overall production of the end this year if they go back to NXT or if they stay on the main roster. With that being said, this is your guy, DJ Kuzmo. Have a blessed week. Be kind to one another. Enjoy WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. And peace.
DJ, it wouldn't be WrestleMania week without you. And the end this year, at least they're being in, at least they're featured in as small of a match as this is. And it has been bumped from even the pre-show of WrestleMania. I mean, it used to be on the actual main show, the proper show, WrestleMania. And then it got bumped to the pre-show. And then it's not even on WrestleMania anymore because people know it's a filler match that's just giving stars that have no storyline whatsoever a chance to be on the card. And I sympathize with that. But as a viewer, I also don't give a crap who wins that. No one cares. Sorry. Yeah, like most people don't give a damn. It used to have a little bit of value where it would be kind of a sign of who they may push in the coming months or you know, give a little bit more of a more TV time to, like Baron Corbin. Like, you know, there's been times where certain people have won and then there's been a little bit of cachet, but it goes away quickly. It's nothing more than a novelty match. But for people and wrestlers like the Indy Shear who get no TV time, this is a big deal. And I don't mean that in a kind of a facetious jerk way. I mean that in like, this is actually a big deal that they're being shown on SmackDown before WrestleMania. So that's a positive. But again, I'm still very concerned that they are part of the, you know, annual releases. I'm not trying to say they are, I've heard anything, but sometimes you can read the tea leaves and I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned. If they survive this round of usual, maybe they don't do it this year, but typical layoffs around April, mid-April, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but it is a concern of mine. But hey, if you want to watch them, you can watch them this week on SmackDown on the Battle Royal. Thank you, buddy. Let's moving on to, I don't know who this is, so let's find out together.
Hi, this is Joshua from Michigan. I've been listening to the show for a few months now, and today I decided I'd go ahead and subscribe on Patreon, start my free trial. I can already tell that I'm going to keep it. You guys are my favorite wrestling podcast out there. I listen to you. I'm a truck driver, and I listen to you every day in the truck. And I just wanted to call because I was just listening to you guys talk about WrestleMania and some predictions and possible overbooking and interferences. And I like all the things you suggested. Obviously, Stone Cold would be the greatest appearance possible for me. But a couple other things that I had seen online were I had heard you guys mention about Cody's brother Dustin showing up. And WWE does technically own Gold Dust, and Tony Khan from AEW, he's on pretty good terms with Cody from what I was reading, and Dustin as well. He likes him. Same with Triple H. He's on good terms with Dustin Rhodes. And I think it's possible that Dustin might show up. He did post on his Twitter or X or whatever it is, "I'm here for the story more than you know," with a wink emoji. That got me kind of excited because I think next to Austin, that might be the best possible appearance at WrestleMania for this whole story. But another thing that I was thinking about is this, at least to me, I think there's a possibility of it could be greatly affected by how the Jimmy vs. Jay match turns out. And I'm on the same page as you where I lost interest. I wasn't really excited to see those two get their match at WrestleMania. It kind of died out. But the only way I think they could really spice that back up and make it more interesting is we've seen the last time they seen each other, I believe it was on Raw. He said he misses him, and it seemed like there was something there, and it was just his dream match, Jay was saying. I do see one or the other turning after their match because they want to be reunited. I'm more partial toward Jimmy teaming back up with Jay and leaving Roman. And I also think that there's going to be a split directly down the middle for the Bloodline, with Rock taking some Bloodline members, Roman taking some Bloodline members to set up that Rock and Roman fight still in the future, whether it's SummerSlam or WrestleMania 41. And when I was going back and watching old episodes, I believe when Solo came to NXT, didn't they bill him as the elders had sent him? So I don't know if there's a chance that maybe Solo branches off with the Rock and turns on Roman as well. I don't know. I'm on the same page as well with the whole Seth not turning. I just can't see that. They're pushing Drew as this heel right now, and he's the hottest heel right now. He's doing great work. I don't – down the line, yeah, I'd love to see Seth and Roman go back at it. Seth will turn.
Hey, Josh from Michigan – or Joshua from Michigan. Drive safe in your truck, buddy, and thanks for listening to the show. I'm glad you gave us a try, and, you know, always open to suggestions. I know we're not perfect. Sometimes we say things you don't like, and I'm not saying you, but just generally, right? And we're always looking to make things better and add content and do what you guys want us to do. Now, speaking of patrons, I do want to give a quick shout out because otherwise I'm going to forget. Speaking of patrons, I want to give a few shout outs to some new patrons who have joined us. A lot of you guys have joined us and taken advantage of the new the free trial. And I'm sure some of you would just take advantage of the trial and leave. And that's cool. You know, free trial, no harm, no foul. So I want to say thank you to Drew. I don't have your last name, but just Drew is how you signed up. Andrew Black, Shiloh, Levi Raymond, And a couple more. Mind Games. Not Mind Games, but Mine Games. Like M-I-N-E. Novamexis. So I'll read that back again. Thank you to Novamexis, Mine Games, Levi Raymond, Shiloh, Andrew Black, and Drew, and Joshua from Michigan, of course. Thank you for joining us here. Again, your voicemail echoes how my brain is processing the potential of the main event here on night one and night two. And who could return? Who could turn? And like I said, return and turn with Solo maybe turning on the bloodline, or the idea of Seth turning and rejoining Roman, like that I've talked about a few minutes ago. The idea of Roman turning on Rock, Rock turning on Roman, the breakdown there. How do they build to WrestleMania 41? All these things, Jay and Jimmy reuniting that I just went over with a previous emailer. I mean, it's mind-numbing, is it not? It's not mind-numbing in a bad way. It's good because there are so many options. To have more options is better. To have fewer is worse, usually. So the spiderweb of possibilities is unbelievable. On top of you add Cena. What about Undertaker? What about Undertaker? Undertaker's going to be there. You don't think they're going to want to use him as a cameo appearance? Now, I don't think he'll get involved in this storyline. It makes less sense than Austin and Cena do, especially given, if we remember, Cena and Austin were shown in the beatdown of the beautiful cinematic beatdown with the rain coming down of Rock beating down Cody and bloodying him. We all saw the Easter eggs that were planted of the truck lit up with those two faces on him in the background, Austin and Cena. So there's a lot of evidence there. The Undertaker, while I know, Joshua, you didn't talk about him, I'm thinking about another possibility. Undertaker could probably show up at 40 in some kind of beatdown of a heel, right? Probably not Roman or the Bloodline, but another heel, make an appearance, hit a choke slam in the Tombstone. No one's talking about Taker, though. Taker's kind of fallen off most people's brains, but I think it's very possible. But back to the whole main event here. Dude, this is crazy. For anyone to say, oh, I know for sure it's going to be Cody winning, he's going to beat Roman clean, they're not going to do... No, they are. Or rather, you're lying. If anyone has said that, not you, but if anyone is convinced that they know the finish of this night one and night two, they are lying, outside of those who are in the creative team. They are simply lying because there's too many possibilities. And if anyone's betting on this match or matches, I wouldn't. I would not put any money on Cody and Roman on night one or night two. You are very ballsy if you do. You're just ballsy. So again, though, it's going to be a wild ride. There's too many possibilities, which makes it fun. No one knows for sure what's going to happen. A lot of matches seem certain, right? Like Bayley beating Io makes perfect sense, right? Some of these make perfect sense for someone to win. The other matches are just out of, you have no clue, and I would not put any money on it. But overall, Joshua, there's a lot of room for a potential overbooking. And you know, the more people we talk about, the more concerned I get that they might overbook it with this person interfering, then this round of people interfering, and then here comes this person, and oh, that person comes out, so this person comes out, and it gets very muddy very quick. That's my concern, unless they execute it to perfection. It's possible. But stay safe, buddy, and enjoy Mania. Okay, let's get to our next voicemail.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. So I wanted to talk about anything happened on Raw or SmackDown, but happened to me personally, is that I got to meet Becky Lynch in person and during her book tour and they're signing in Washington, D.C. And so it was really a cool moment, and it's been she's opened up in terms of retire about the bug and stuff like that. It was really a cool experience to be a part of, and my first time to interact with a wrestler like face to face, and have to meet her and introduce her stuff like that, and she saw what I look like and stuff like that. So it was a cool thing to see her in that way, besides her in the ring playing her character, you know, whether or Raw or SmackDown. So it was a cool moment, and that whether it happens at WrestleMania or not, it doesn't really matter. I'm looking forward to the next episode between Becky and Rhea, but I personally won because I got to meet Becky. Because I got to meet Becky, so it was a cool moment for me. So, that's what I put that out there for to let you and everyone know that it was a really cool moment. She's really really nice in person for sure. It was really a great moment for me. So, so I look forward to Becky and Rhea, but I just wanted to say that I met Becky. It was a cool moment, and but that's it. Short call.
Kyle, cool experience, man. Yeah, I have no doubt she's a great person. She seems like a very genuine, and it comes across. She doesn't feel like she's faking it, and behind the scenes, she's really a witch. Replace that W with a B, hey? It doesn't seem like she's that. Doesn't mean she can't be, but generally, I don't think it seems like she has that kind of personality. So I'm not surprised to hear that she seems like a genuinely nice person. That's cool. And she's on her book tour, so it wouldn't behoove her to be a total jerk. I mean, people are purchasing her books, which means they are lining her pockets, would be a bit kind of contrarian to her goal of making money if she was, you know, giving attitude to the people who are purchasing her books. But do I think she's still faking it? No, doesn't mean she wasn't tired and putting on a happy face, right? It's good to hear, because a lot of times wrestlers in the airports and who are tired, or you find them in the hotel, can be a bit off-putting, and there's some understanding to that if they're dead dog tired. And if you are coming up to a wrestler and they're in the bathroom or with their family and they give you attitude, that's on you, bro. Not you, Kyle, but just generally anybody who does that. I mean, that's just on you. You got to pick your spots if you see wrestlers out in public. When they have a pre-set up meet and greet, though, especially at a book signing, they're obviously more likely to be nice. But does that mean they're faking it or they're genuinely like that? I mean, we'll never know. But Becky does come off that way, and it is cool to hear that. So thanks, Kyle. Let's keep rolling. I think we've got two more, and we're going to save a very special one for the end. We'll get to one more, two more.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Thomas Aarons from Jacksonville. Hey, I had a pretty hot take on the WWE WrestleMania match between Gunther, the Ring General, and Chad Gable. So my thoughts about it, man, I think that Chad Gable will turn on Gunther, or turn on Sammy. I think Chad's going to turn on Sammy, call Sammy the belt, look at a three-way stipulation, triple threat match. That way they could kind of lay a pin on somebody else, and Gunther don't have to drop the title in a way that he deserves to not drop it. I feel like Gunther needs to relinquish the belt. He's been a great Intercontinental, but obviously, he needs a push at the WWE heavy world weight, and I think that'd be a way to do it. But honestly, my hot take for one is that Chad Gable turns on Sammy, costs Sammy the belt, and three ways. But hey, man, appreciate the podcast. I like listening to it. Pretty excited about WrestleMania. So, yeah, I appreciate you.
Well, hey, Thomas from Jacksonville. I think that's the first time you've called in. So, welcome, and glad you're enjoying the show. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call that a hot take, because a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Not that it's not an intelligent thought or a very real possibility, but I do think that a lot of people are on board with this, and I think it's a good booking decision, honestly. You have Gunther retained because a lot of people are thinking he's not going to. You potentially have a Brock Lesnar return after Gunther declares there's no one left. Maybe he does that at Mania, or as I said about a half hour ago on the show, at some point in the Raw after Mania, you have Gunther stand there and declare there's no one left. Brock Lesnar's music hits, and hey, Brock challenging for the IC title. It sounds weird, but I'm not against it. And we finally get Brock and Gunther again. You can have it at Mania or the Monday Night Raw after, and then you dive into a Sammy Chad Gable feud that no one's going to be sad about, because you have a program that, look at what they did at the end of the Gauntlet match a few weeks ago. A++ wrestling. Amazing. Just incredible match between those two. Imagine if they had a full program. I mean, it would be outstanding, especially in ring. And they both can cut very good promos. And it's nice to see Chad in a serious role. Also, we have learned throughout the Triple H regime that he takes title changes much more seriously than Vince McMahon did. When he changes champions, he really thinks it through, clearly, because these champions have been had much longer reigns across the board than under the Vince McMahon regime. So when there's a title change that's done, it's done with intent. It's done with a lot of thought behind it. It's not hot-shotting or creating moments to create moments. It is serious. And so Gunther dropping it to Sammy, I mean, I'm not excited about that. I just am not. I think a lot of fans feel the same way. So I think you're right. There's a lot of evidence for that. So thank you. And let's get to our final voicemail. This one should be fun, guys. I've seen some of the transcript of this. I haven't heard the whole thing. Maybe it's not as contrarian or, volatile as I'm thinking it's going to be, but let's find out from Alex the French Guy. Let's see what he's got to say in response to my response.
Alex the French Guy here, your current European champion, Dino, from Scotland. I heard your message. How dare you? How dare you mention my name as the European Championship of this podcast? I am the champion since 2 years. I've been defending for twice, but that's almost as much as Roman Reigns this year. But yeah, Dino, I hear you. Come at me. And about WrestleMania coming up, I really enjoy WrestleMania season like everybody. I will be on vocal with some friends. By the way, also, I will pay close attention to Discord chat. And also, if some people are in the Discord chat room on the vocal. And I really look forward to this WrestleMania. But whenever I think about this weekend, the only thing I think about is the storyline in the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and stuff. Like, I don't recall having, when I think of this Sunday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, the only thing I think about is Bloodline or Seth Rollins. And I have the impression that it's one big storyline. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but I don't know, the United States, the match is pretty average. Could have been on a SmackDown. Rivalry between Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross. I like so much the two of these guys, but the storyline is not compelling. I don't know, also the Women's Championship, I felt like it's a little bit less interesting because Rhea Ripley should definitely win. And Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill have been announced way, way too late too. I don't know, I really would look forward to this WrestleMania. Also, the other match that I look forward to maybe is Sami Zayn against Gunther. But the very fact that they have to involve Chad Gable to the storyline proves that Chad Gable had to be the man for this championship opportunity. But I really look forward to this WrestleMania 40 with you guys, the WWE podcast. Enjoy this weekend. Bye, guys.
All right, well, that wasn't as intense as I expected. The transcript, I guess, wasn't correct. So it was at Dino. I thought that was just at me. So, all right. Well, crisis averted, but nonetheless, good to hear from our European champion over there. Long reign. You're only halfway to Roman's, though. So, there are still higher bars to be achieved there, Alex. But, this is a WrestleMania that it's going to have its predictable moments. It's going to have its unpredictable moments and ones that we look at and go, so-and-so has to win this, and they probably will. But ultimately, this is the first time that we can look at this and really judge Triple H's creative. Because he's had a long time now, many, many months without Vince there, since he resigned in shame, to construct the roster and put together creative storylines that are from his brain, or at least approved through his brain. So this is where we can finally give him a report card. We can finally say, okay, good, bad, right? We can do that week to week, but things change week to week. And at WrestleMania, you can take a large macro, big picture view on his progress and on his efforts and on his results, how things have been executed. This is where we can finally do that. And, I think it'll be mixed. Looking into this WrestleMania, my excitement has been higher than any other WrestleMania in the last 5 to 10 years because of the unpredictability. Yes, the name brand value helps. The Rock wrestling again. you know, wrestling seems to be cool again, is kind of the new marketing slogan. But just generally, right? Like the feel of the product has changed since Vince has left. The talent are peaking. There's some up-and-coming talent that haven't even reached their full potential. You're right. There are some storylines that are very underwhelming, like Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. I think Bobby even went on record lately of saying he was quote-unquote handcuffed. And I agree with that. His storyline has made no sense over the last 6 months. They're on again, off again, gone again, back again, heels, then baby faces. Like, it's been all over the damn place with no consistency. So I feel for them. The final testament, I don't think we've seen the best of them yet. That's going to be an interesting match from just, can the crowd even get into it? That's, to me, the test on that one, which is not good, but it's a test. So, yeah, this is going to be very interesting. And ultimately, I think we're going to come away from both nights going, oh, my God, there's so much to talk about. There can't not be. So, all right, I'll end it there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for contributing. I wanted to give the respect to everybody who took the time out of their day, work day, whatever. Everything's crazy for everybody to be able to get on the air and get your opinions read and my response. And, you know, obviously, in just a few hours, I'm going to be recording again with Anthony DeMarco for our official preview and predictions. I gave away some of them here on the show because it's hard not to. But in a few hours, I'm going to be recording with Anthony. We'll be dropping the preview and prediction show later this evening, Eastern Standard Time. And then tomorrow, obviously, WrestleMania, I'm going to try to be posting throughout the day and giving you guys my opinions throughout the show, maybe even pop on the Discord server. No promises, but we'll see. And just being engaged. I mean, this is no better time to be a wrestling fan. We're here. It's here. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Please consider going VIP on our website. That's ad-free there. You can go ad-free on our website if people still use websites. I don't know if they do, but that's available. You can go VIP on our website for everything ad-free on wwepodcast.com. You can go on Apple Podcasts and get everything ad-free there with a one-week free trial. One-week free trial also on Patreon, guys. If you don't want to hear ads throughout all of our WrestleMania reviews, you can get that all for free. I probably shouldn't be telling you that, but I am. And then you can bail on us in 6 days and you don't get charged a dime. So how many times we do that, right? We would create different emails and we do free trials so we don't have to get charged. Hey, if you do that, good for you, right? We've all done it. But I'd encourage you to stick with us past WrestleMania because there's going to be a lot of fallout. Things don't end at WrestleMania. A lot of things begin. So while stories may be finishing, other stories may be just beginning. How do you like that for an ending? All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.